Parshas Lech Lecha, very exciting Sedra it is, begins of course with our trip through the life of Avram Avinu, who's told to go ahead and leave Haran and go to the land that HaKadosh Baruch Hu planned on showing him. So Avram goes ahead and he takes the Nefesh Asher Asu B'Haran, they take the souls that they made in Haran, to which the Tana Devei Elio explains that Shem tried to influence the nations of the world for over 400 years to no avail. So the commentaries explain that he was unsuccessful at influencing anyone outside of his yeshiva's circle. Avram Avinu, on the other hand, was the first success at influence, as he was capable of creating souls. So Rabbi Baruch Mordechai Ezrachi Shalita asked why Shem was not successful at being Makariv in the same way that Avram Avinu was. He explains that different people have different talents. Avos, our forefathers, had the unique ability to create nefesh. They knew how to create souls. Shem and Aver lacked that ability. But at the same time, says Rabbi Baruch Mordechai, Shem and Aver did have the ability to create the Avos. Right? They all of the Avos, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, learned how to be Avos in Yeshiva Shem and Aver. Sometimes you need a yeshiva in order to create the superstars who will lead the next generation. It's reminiscent of a story that the chief rav of Elizabeth, the abesdin of the bezdin of Elizabeth, Rav Elazar Meir Teitz, likes to tell about individuals who were walking through the Hall of Science in what used to be known as the Soviet Union. So they're in the Great Hall of Science, and the Great Hall of Science contains on the left side one major photo of one particular Russian scientist, Stalingrad, and the other one, whose name was Gorshinsky. So the fellow is leading a tour through the Great Hall of Science, and he starts explaining who Stalingrad was. He says he was awesome. He created everything. He created the telephone, the light bulb, photographs, the internet, the computer, you name it, Stalingrad made it. And one of the tourists turns around and he says, well, if he created anything, who's the guy on the left? He says, oh, that's Moshkalov. What's Moshkalov? Moshkalov, he's the guy who made Stalingrad. Sometimes being the one who created the one, that in of itself is worthy of praise, not necessarily of negativity. Shame gets credit for creating the environment from within which avos grow. Sometimes in our lives, we're so excited about the ones who are able to go out and have the impact, the rabbis, the rabbanim, the inspirations, the great people in every single field, that we forget that there were those who mentored those individuals who perhaps were not as great as they in terms of practical ability, but because they gave them the nurturing environment, that's how they were able to become who they became. Then we talked a little further, continuing along with this theme, as HaNefesh Asher Asu B'Haran, in one of his last shiurim on Parshas Lech Lecha, the late great Rav Ovadia Yosef Zecher Tzadik Livracha, whose yard site, as this past week, points out, incites a medrash which described just how far Avram Avinu went in order to be Makariv somebody. The medrash, as repeated by Rav Ovadia Zecher Tzadik Livracha, describes an old person who came to Avram Avinu's tent, and after receiving free hospitality, took out his idol and offered to offer thanks. Avram Avinu demurred and tried to show him the error of his ways. He spent hours trying to convince the fellow of the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And after the conversation of numerous hours, the man again took out his idol to offer thanksgiving. And so for the lack of respect, Avram Avinu turned and asked him to leave. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared to Avram Avinu, according to Rav Ovadia's version of this medrash, and he told him that he, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, had been waiting 90 years to have the chance to have this man influenced by Avram Avinu in order to show him the error of his ways. So Avram Avinu realized that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not too happy with the result, and so he sent to have the man brought back, and he encouraged the man to return. After extended conversation and a refill on the provisions that made Avram's tent legendary, the man took out the idol, but instead of praying to it this time, smashed it to the ground, noting that the extended hospitality clearly demonstrated a higher belief system than that provided by the idol. Rav Ovadia Zatzal explains that we see the importance of not giving up on somebody, even at 90, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu still waits for him. Ad yom osot chakelo im yashuv miyad tekablo. Says Rav Ovadia also that the way we approach someone clearly impacts the way that we choose to see them, but also the way they choose to see us and that which we represent. And so he encouraged those listening to the shir to be mekabel b'sever panim yafos, because you never know, just quite honestly, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plan is for him. It should be pointed out that the Beis Yosef in his Kainis Drish Sefer Magid Meisharm explains that this ability to be mekarif people is the thing that was the fear of the King of Sodom, who in later in the parsha turns and is willing to give up all of the rechush, a rechush kachlach, but feared the kirov power of Avram Avinu, and so he says, Tainli anefesh, the only thing I request from you is to give me the souls. Quite honestly, we find that Avram Avinu then goes down to Mitzrayim, ula Avram etiv bavura, and to Avram it appears that they were good because of Sarah Imenu, and thus he became wealthy. So it sounds as if Avram Avinu was accepting gifts from Paro. But then later in the Sedra, we see that he doesn't accept gifts from the King of Sodom. Why? Moreover, we know that Avram Avinu turns around and accepts gifts from the King of Mitzrayim, who gives gifts, when he took Sarah. But Avimelech Melech Gerar, whom we will read about in next week's Sedra, does not offer the same gifts when he took Sarah. Why is that? So Rav Yashiv Zatzal explains that the rule of a king is hinted to by Shmuel HaNavi is that he has the right to take the royal subjects as per his wish. But, adds Rav Yashiv, the king does not have the same right when he's taking advantage of an outsider. That he has to pay for. Avram Avinu's trip to Mitzrayim was as a visitor. When he moved to Gerar, the Pasuk says, Vayagar beGerar, he moved to Gerar, and so therefore he was subjected to the same rules as any other subject, as was Sarah, and thus she became an object, as a subject of the king. But when Paro took Sarah, he had the responsibility to pay her relatives for the actions, as they were not within local custom. Similarly, therefore Avram Avinu had to accept it, because that too is part of the local custom, as an outsider. When Avram leaves Mitzrayim, the Pasuk tells us he came up, who, v'chol banav, v'chol beiso, v'lot imo, and Lot was with him. Now originally, when the concept of Avram leaving Charan is discussed, Lot is identified as part of the family. Yet when he leaves Mitzrayim, he's considered a hanger-on or an afterthought. Why? Mori v'rabbi Rav Shechter quotes Rav Soloveitchik, who explained that originally Lot was a believer in the monotheism that his uncle Avram Avinu espoused. But when he entered the technologically advanced society of Mitzrayim, all of a sudden that changed. The fact of the matter is that just like Lot went to Mitzrayim and gave up his beliefs in spirituality for the benefits and comforts of society, Rav Soloveitchik pointed out that many in our generation give up our rights in religion and belief for personal comforts as well. Rav Shechter added that we need to create a sense of spirituality in our children too in order to stay off this challenge. It's hard to do, he said, but we need to create a sense within our children to have the ability to discern Kedusha. Avram Avinu did that by the Akedah, and thus he takes Yitzchak Avinu and he gives him the opportunity to see. Anyway, the bottom line is, after he leaves, Vayelch lemaasav mikedem lebeis el, ela makom shahaya shamo alo batchila, he goes from his travels to the east, from Beit El, to the place where his tent had been originally. And Rashi cites the Gemara in Erechin, which tells us that he returned to the same places, the same hotels, etc., that he had stopped in on his way down to Mitzrayim. This teaches us that one shouldn't change his lodging places. The places that he went, says the Gemara, is where they're supposed to go in the future. But Rav Moshe Tzvi Neria Zatzal adds that it's also there to teach us a certain derech eretz about how money is not supposed to change the tznius, the humble lifestyle that a person leads. You see, Avram Avinu went down to Mitzrayim in poverty, having to borrow in order to get there. However, when he leaves Mitzrayim wealthy. He still stayed in the same inns and didn't opt for more opulent surroundings. Money didn't change his lifestyle, it just gave him a better way to carry it out. Later on, Avram Avinu engages in the Bris Bein Abisarim, and we see that he starts splitting a bunch of animals, but as Hatzipor Lo Basar, the animals Avram Avinu was encouraged to split represent the nations of the world. But the Tzipor, which is a reference to the Jewish people, Avram was told to leave whole and intact. The Maharal explains that the Jewish people are compared to a flying bird. The secret to the Jewish people is the fact that as many try to trap her spiritually, the flying bird always manages to fly away and soar because of the spirit that is the Jewish people. In the context of Bris Milah, Avram Avinu is told that I'm going to give you ulezarachcha acharecha es eretz megurecha. And the late great Rabbi Yosef Leib Bloch of Telz explains that the concept of Schus Avos, as identified here, the concept of giving you and your children the land of your youth, is not merely a gift because of protexia, but rather when a child follows in the footsteps of the parent, says Rabbi Bloch, it's as if the parent is still alive in the soul of the child. Each action done by the child is an action as if done by the parent. And the parent's chus guides the goodness due to the child too. And thus when the children inherit Eretz Yisrael, it's only those children who inherit in the footsteps and style of Avram who are entitled to the inheritance. Those who don't follow Avram Avinu's style are not entitled to the inheritance. The Lutzker Rav of Saratskin Zatzal explains and adds that the same thing is true for Torah, not just in terms of Eretz Yisrael. One needs to understand that a bris is a preparatory process for the Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim, as well as for the process of Limud HaTorah. But only those who enter the bris the way Avram did are entitled to the same ability. And thus Magid Devarav Liyakov, who called Mishpatav Yisrael, Lo Asachin L'Chogoy. The same situation does not apply to all the nations of the world. Mishpatim Ba'yidom, they're just not entitled to the Yerusha that comes along with it. Finally, in the context of the Haftorah of Yonasan Sachs, the great Rosh Yeshiva of Beis Medrash LaTorah, Beis Medrash LaTalmud in Queens, explains that while the Jewish people cry out that it seems that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is unfair in His punishment and that He has forsaken us, Nistara Darki Me Hashem, this is a major challenge to the concepts of Amunah of Yichud Hashem and Sachar Va'onesh, but Rabbi Sachs explains that this is the message that the Navi wants us to take and keep in mind, that Hashem's cheshbon is not merely that which we think it is. And thus the response to galus and challenge needs to be introspection, not suspicion of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ways. Even when it looks like Hashem is favoring other nations, it is to us to know that those nations will fall. There is a just reward based on merit. But that merit is not necessarily how it appears in our eyes. Tzadik hu Hashem b'chol durachav, v'chassid b'chol ma'asav. Shabbat shalom to all.